The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, good afternoon. This is Richard Quigley doing my weekly, what did I do? Doing my weekly little talk show here on KSCO Radio. I'm in a particularly incredible mood this week. Don't have any idea why all the things that have been bestowed on me have been bestowed on me. Thank you very much, Rosemary. Getting my microphone moved around for me here. Am I all lined up now? You want me to peg him?
That's it.
I got it? It's always great to have professional help when you're sitting down here trying to do stuff like this. Thank you, Rosemary. Anyway, yeah, this is the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. My little 40-minute stint that the Zwirling family has provided me on a weekly basis. So it's been a very good year for me so far. I've got a... I got this gig down here so I get a chance to communicate some of these ideas about freedom to my fellow citizens. This year, I just came by a place to reopen my t-shirt factory, so I'll be back in business printing t-shirts again very soon. And I've been shut down for almost 3 years, almost 4 years. And it'll be nice to have that business running again. And through a story I will not tell you all the details of, but it has to do with blessings beyond anything that I ever believed would happen. I am now the proud owner with payments, but the proud owner of the 1999 Harley-Davidson Night Train. And there's no way to express to you at this point in my life that that particular deal came to be. And just it was not something I thought would ever happen. So came down here today feeling great, and I managed to find an old case that I've been talking to you guys about but not been able to reference except from memory, and that's going to be the subject of my show today. We're going to talk about the right of the public in on private property, public access. I think one of the occasions that I had down here where I actually had to say goodbye to somebody abruptly, it was over this issue. And I've been searching and researching and looking and trying to find the case. And I finally found it. And I'm going to read some of the highlights to you, but I'm going to tell you how I got there. The call-in lines, because this is a talk show, call-in lines here are 479-1080, 477-1340. You can fax me at 475-2967. That's all 831 area code. And remember, with those faxes, keep it large. Even with glasses, I still have trouble seeing. Codger that I am. Okay, Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center area outside the Coffee Roasting Company, one of the few coffee shops in town where you are you're not comfortable when you leave to find a place to sit down and have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, all one word where I came from. In fact, the shopping center has been very... very deliberate in finding ways to make it extremely unattractive to hang out out there. They make sure that there's nothing, no seating area available. If there is a seating area, they put it in the portion where you're like in the sun, no way to get out of the sun. The whole social aspect of that shopping center is diminished by the belief that the people that own it have that they can select who has a right to be there, what they can be there for, and when they have to leave. And they've been absolutely unwilling to accept that when they got the permit to open that shopping center, which is a permit to make tons of money, incidentally. If you go back to when that thing was put in, it was an orchard at one point. And the guy that owned it had been watching, you know, and everybody was putting in strip malls and making mega bucks. We're talking about the kind of money that that some people in Santa Cruz may be able to relate to, but most of us can't. And it you know, just gobs of money. And part of the deal with these shopping centers, as I will point out to you later, is that it's a place where businesses get to come and set up, where there's a high volume of people. You know, people live in the area and people drive by the area. So you're authorizing these people when you allow them to build a shopping center, to put up buildings for rent to businesses that want to draw on the value of the residents in that area. So that it is a real capital value that they're drawing from. And I don't know where it is provided in the planning department. They you can't really call them and ask them questions and get straight answers. I mean, I don't know whether it's because they don't know or they're just jerks generally, but you can't get the answers to why those areas were built in the first place. You know, they have this big area out in front of that coffee shop where there's plenty of room. In fact, we proved it. About 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, I was down there, and a lot of the young people in the community who are the ones that are still physically strong enough to put up with the limitations that are put on being able to congregate out there were sitting on the railings that had been put on the walls, which would otherwise be at least a flat concrete place to sit. And most older people can't really, in fact, it's not very comfortable for the young to be sitting on these metal railings as the only place to gather and congregate and meet people. You know, I'll meet you at the coffee shop at 2:00. Where's Jim? Oh, I saw him down at the coffee shop, you know, that kind of thing. It is a community type area. It was designed to be that. The space is there for that purpose. And it's protected by law. And these naysayers to this whole program like to come in and talk about private property rights. And I will be explaining all those in greater detail. In fact, I will be reading from Justice Mosk, who explained it in greater detail and more clear than I ever could. Of course, that's why he was a Supreme Court justice. And I print T-shirts now and then. Anyway... 6-8 weeks ago, I'm sitting down there, and there's a half a dozen young people sitting down there, and we're exchanging ideas, which is what the whole First Amendment is about. That's one of the elements is that the people have to be free to exchange ideas, and that means free to congregate to do that. And I'd been down at the drugstore earlier that day, Rite Aid, and they had these plastic chairs on sale, these patio chairs for like 2 for $10. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we've been putting up with not having any tables or chairs in that area for a long time. Let's just see if maybe we can do something about it, not offend anybody, but maybe we can provide for an area there where we can, as we gather and sit around and chat, that we can be comfortable. So I talked one of the young people into making the trip so I didn't have to be carrying anything, and I handed him $20 and sent him down to the drugstore to grab 4 of those chairs. And they brought them up there, and we set them out, and we all sat down, and lo and behold, I mean, it was just way more comfortable than sitting on that railing. And so part of the conversation got to be, well, what can we do, you know, that will allow us to have these chairs here? How can we best set this up so that there won't be any legitimate complaint about this, and we won't be making a mess, and there won't, you know, we don't want to interfere with the business that's going on there, but we would like to be comfortable outside our little public area out there. And so among us, without any rules, we agreed that perhaps if we picked a spot over there out of the way by a planter, if we just stacked those chairs up when we were done with them, that maybe people would leave them there and then we could come back and use them again. So we sat around there for a couple hours and I left, and the agreement was last one out closed the door. Now, it's not a rule. You know, people can live real well without rules. Reasonable people can live by agreement. And this was going to be, it seemed like a perfect opportunity for a test. So next day I come down, lo and behold, the chairs are still there. They're stacked up over there. Well, they weren't. They were out, and the young people in the community were sitting in them, and there were 5 kids there, and there were 4 of them seated and 1 of them standing. And when I came walking up, one of them jumped up immediately to let me sit down. It's like, no, 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 you don't understand. Well, they're your chairs. No, they're not my chairs. The money that I had is part of that cosmic cash flow that comes through that karmic cash flow that people give to me because I am able to disperse it to folks that need it. Now, it's not a bunch of money, but, you know, every once in a while somebody hand me $20, $50 or something, you know, to because they know that I'm involved in helping people out from time to time, just giving them a hand and when they need it. Anyway, I said, you know, here's $20. Why don't you run down here and grab four more of those things? So they come back up, and now we had eight chairs. The short version, if we're going to get to the top of the hour and still have some time left, is that within about 3 days, we had 12 chairs, three small tables, and two ashtrays in that area. And at the end of the day, everybody cleaned everything up, stacked up the chairs, and away they went. All the reports were that the area was much cleaner because of the use of ashtrays. The area was much cleaner the following morning when the cleanup crews came in. There was at least one occasion, I guess, where there was an adjustment to the number of people that were there, and they had somehow gotten out to where they were blocking part of the walkway, and somebody from the coffee shop mentioned they'd appreciate it if that didn't happen. And immediately, you know, that's a reasonable request. Everybody kind of started working with one another to remind each other not to block the walkways, make sure that people had access to and through the area. All civilized people. Nice young people. So yeah, this goes on for a while, and it's just looking great. You know, everything's working out wonderful. The chairs are always either being in use or they're being stacked up. But one of the beautiful things that started to happen was is that people that don't generally hang out there, because there is no comfortable way to do that, suddenly they were picking up chairs, and they were picking up tables and ashtrays, and they were sitting down having a cup of coffee and visiting with their friends. And this community thing started to come alive, and it was like, this is unbelievable. And in fact, one day, the one that really made my heart sing is I was leaving to go somewhere, and there were these two ladies that had come out of the coffee shop, and they're like in their mid-30s, and they're not one of the ones that generally hang out down there. And they went over and picked up a couple chairs, table and ashtray, and set them up and sat down, and they're sitting there as I'm leaving. I got back a couple hours later and stopped in for another cup of coffee just as they were getting ready to go. And as they started to get up and leave, the one lady started to walk off, and the other one says, I think they put their chairs back when they're done. And at first, oh, well, okay. So they stacked their chairs back up, emptied the ashtray, put the table back. Beautiful, beautiful. No rules, no signs, no nothing. Ain't this wonderful? This is the way civilized people can live. By the way, this is KSCO. Our little noontime talk show here. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want to jump in, it's a little early because I've got some distance to cover yet. Back to it. One day, I go down there, and all the chairs, all the tables are gone. Now, the response had been from the community that this was great stuff. Even the coffee roasting company, at least what they were willing to tell me, was not at all bothered by it. In fact, they were quite pleased with it. I was seeing situation after situation where the generations were coming together. Some of the older people in our community that would like to sit down between stores, you know, were finding this area very convenient and available, and they were starting to have interaction with the young people of our community. Oh, my God, a healthy community spirit. This is great. It was working wonderful. Showed up one day and all the chairs are gone. Shopping center believes they have the right to take those things out. We don't have a right to use that area. And they, you know, it's our Tuesday guy doesn't like me calling it what it is. It's fascism, but we'll call it elitism. It's a mandatory elitism. In any case, I've talked about this, and it was the sheriff's office that really started this whole thing when they opened that service center down there. I don't think Mark Tracy's wife liked going down there and looking and seeing people that weren't out in her new economic class. You know, he makes $150,000 a year now. And there's no reason for people like that to have to mix with riffraff. So anyway, I've talked about this in bits and pieces before, but the whole problem really sprung from the sheriff's office. So I had this case in my mind, and I knew it was there, and I knew all these things were in it, and I haven't been able to find it, and I did. I finally got my hands on it a few days ago, and so I'm going to read some excerpts from you today from a case called Diamond versus Bland. And Diamond was a nonprofit that People's Lobby that were getting signatures for an initiative campaign in a mall. Bland was the sheriff, and he came down and arrested him because that mall had rules that said you can't be hanging out there. They get to regulate everything in there. This is private property. You know, you're just scum. We're the ones. We get to do it. We get to do what we want to do. And so you have no rights. So this case got to the Supreme Court of California, and there was an opinion written by a guy by the name of Mosk, Justice Mosk, Mr. Justice Mosk. And my God, what an incredible justice this guy was. There's some opinions that make your heart sing that this man wrote over the years that he was there. He finally retired in disgust after they got rid of Rose Byrd, and he saw that the court was going to go this elitist fascist route, you know, whatever you want to call it, that California now has one of the worst police states out of the 50 states. And anyway, he couldn't handle it anymore, I guess. And then he went back to private practice and I think doing some teaching. In the front of the case, he starts off pointing out that the question that was brought to the court was a question of first impression, and which means that this is the first time that the state of California is going to deal with this issue. And he wrote, "May the owners of a privately owned shopping center deny all use of their premises to persons who desire on those premises to engage in First Amendment activities unrelated to the business of the center." I'll do that again. "May the owners of a privately owned shopping center deny all use of their premises to persons who desire on those premises to engage in the First Amendment activities unrelated to the business of the center." And this is a question that came up a few years ago relative to our street minister there in Abtos. He was the man that was banished from that area for fighting for these very rights that I'm about to tell you about. Was put on trial, the first individual I know of ever put on trial for being a public nuisance, because the way that he protested the fact that they were trying to run him off and deny his rights that he knew were protected. He may be disabled, but he's not stupid. He knew this case that I'm about to fill you in on parts of. He knew it inside and out, knew where it came from. I learned about it from him originally. Anyway, he goes on there. He covers a lot of things, and he's going to be talking about some other cases through here, and I'll reference some of them, and I'll cite some of them as we go through. But you will get the drift of what this is about as we go through it. Anyway, he says, under Home Arts regulations, this is the mall that this case was about. All activity apart from regulated, mutually beneficial business promotions and displays, whether by tenants or strangers, is forbidden on the premises of the center. The policy is intended to avoid any possible congestion or disturbance which might interfere with amiable shopping by customers, and it is applied without discrimination to all varieties of charitable, religious, fraternal, social, and political groups that seek to use the center's property for any forms of solicitation or discussion. So what he's talking about here is a case that is unique from Aptos, because in Aptos it was absolutely discriminatory in the way it was laid down. But in the case of Homart, it wasn't. It was indiscriminate. Nobody had any rights in there except the shopping center, according to them. Anyway, these people wanted to get some petitions signed in the shopping center, and they wouldn't allow it. Even though they were assured that their activities would be orderly and everything, the shopping center didn't care. They were going to run them off. So the thing went to court, and the lower court upheld the position of the shopping center, and it finally got to the Supreme Court. So we get to the body of the opinion. And he wrote, "We start from the premise that the peaceful and orderly solicitation of signatures, discussion of issues, and distribution of information are First Amendment protected activities which may not be prohibited broadly and absolutely on public streets, parks, and similar public places traditionally associated with the exercise of the First Amendment rights." Now again, we start from the premise that peaceful and orderly discussion of issues are First Amendment protected activities. So this is where he starts as he writes it out. Marsh versus Alabama is the first case that he cites. Now, Marsh versus Alabama dealt with a town in Alabama that was owned by a company. They literally own the town, and it's not unusual for me because I grew up in a company town. I know how that works. And there was a woman that had been there, and she was handing out flyers for Jehovah's Witnesses, and they didn't want her to do that. And so they, this case ended up going to the Supreme Court, and the decision is called Marsh versus Alabama. It was a 1946 decision. For those of you that do the law library stuff, it's 326 U.S. 501. Anyway, in the United States Supreme, it says in Marsh versus Alabama, the United States Supreme Court determined that the owners of a company town could not prevent the exercise of First Amendment rights on privately owned streets in the business district. Therefore, it was held that a member of Jehovah's Witnesses could not be absolutely prohibited from distributing religious material. In quotes, it writes, ownership does not always mean absolute dominion. The more an owner, now listen to this, the more an owner, for his advantage, opens up his property for use by the public in general, the more do his rights become circumscribed by the statutory and constitutional rights of those who use it. Now, in other words, when he opened that shopping center up down here, this Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center up, he waived his absolute dominion rights to the orchard that he had before that. And for the advantage of all the money he's going to make by putting that shopping center in the center of all these people that need to buy stuff, he his rights became circumscribed by the statutory and constitutional rights of those who use that shopping center. This is straight out of the opinion. He goes on, although the court understandably limited its holding to the facts before it, and this is one of those things where the Supreme Courts, all these higher courts, only answer the question you ask. That's why this decision about taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance is so weird, because if you go back and read the original question, the ninth wasn't that far off. So through the course of this, they brought up a second case. Anyway, what it says is that he's citing a case called Logan. And he says, peaceful and orderly First Amendment activities. Now, remember, we defined that in the beginning of this thing as, I got to grab it, discussion of issues. That means people sitting around talking about the state of their community. This is First Amendment protected stuff. Okay. Peaceful and orderly First Amendment activities on the premises of shopping centers should be protected to the same extent as the right recognized by the court in Marsh. And that's the even though for the residents of a company-owned town, that's for the company-owned town against the shopping center. The implication is clear that modern-day shopping centers serving as the business districts for surrounding residential communities have important public functions, and their owners may not rely on their private party their private ownership to justify blanket prohibitions on First Amendment activities that could lawfully be conducted on public property. Indeed, in many instances, the contemporary shopping center serves as the analog of the traditional town square. Anybody ever remember me explaining that this is a town square issue? That's where I got it. Diamond versus Bland. This is not stuff I made up. Says, we held that the shopping center, like a city, could not engage in the arbitrary discrimination on the basis of race, politics, or dress in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. We implicitly recognize that, quote, the shopping center has undertaken the public function of providing society with the necessities of life and has become the modern suburban counterpart of the town center. So you've got to understand that when these people tell you that you cannot congregate in an area that is designed for that purpose in a private shopping center, they're literally ordering you out of the town square. And it's just, the law says no. Now, I'm going to calm my passions down a little bit. We're going to run over here, and I'm going to see if I can get a couple spots here to pay for some of this time, and I'll be back in just a few.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. We have modem coverage for all of California and web-based email, so you can check your email from any internet connection in the world. Our spam filtering and virus protection services will keep your inbox free from unwanted messages. GotNet specializes in providing high-quality, fast, friendly customer support. We're here 7 days a week to serve you. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
We'll be right back.
Okay, I'm trying to pack a lot in here. I don't have a bunch of time to sit around and wait for that music, much as I love it. So here we go. Now, so we've established, oh, by the way, this is KSCO, United States Freedom Fighter Forum. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. Randy, I see you up there. I'm going to get to you in just a minute. I got a couple things I got to handle here to wrap this up so that people will understand. I'm not saying that the people in the shopping center don't have any rights. Unlike their treatment of us, we most certainly regard their rights, and they make sense if you look at them. So, continuing on with this decision, because it's a long opinion, but getting back to where we were, we've established that the people have a right to congregate in the shopping center just like they do in the town square, because it is important for a community to have healthy interaction, and the First Amendment protects those rights. So he comes back and cites some other cases. He's talking in this case about Schwartz versus Torrance. He wrote, "The countervailing interest which the owner endeavors to vindicate emanates from the exclusive possession and enjoyment of private property. Because of the public character of the shopping center, however, the impairment of the owner's interest must be largely theoretical. The owner has fully opened his property to the public. It suffers no significant harm in the deprivation of absolute power to prohibit peaceful picketing upon a property to which it has invited the entire public, and certainly not peaceful visiting. The diluted nature of a property right in premises open to the public, we concluded the interest of the owner lies in the shadow cast by a property right worn thin by public usage." Got it? Now, they go on to say, "There is no allegation that plaintiff's conduct was in any way disruptive of the business activities carried on at the center. And that is absolutely true of that seating arrangement that was done down there at the shopping center with those young people, in fact, in the community. That area was set up to be a comfortable area for people to sit. It is so stupid that the people that run those stores, they haven't got the sense it takes to pound sand in a rat hole. They don't understand that if somebody is shopping and they want to take a break from shopping, they sit down somewhere and relax for a few minutes, they can get back and spend more money. If they become a regular visitor, which most of the young people are, certainly the older folks can't handle the inconvenience of that hostile environment. But if it is more convenient, what happens is that people will even develop an attachment to their town square. And what happens then? They tend to shop there. The businesses in that shopping center are absolutely nuts not to be on the owners of that shopping center to let the people form that attachment. It is in their own economic best interest. Just stupid, stupid, stupid. Anyway, there's no allegations that the behavior is in any way disruptive. And the trial court's finding of a potential obstruction and interference with the use of the property does not justify a blanket bar to all First Amendment activities, but merely suggests reasonable regulation. Now, nobody that I know of on our end of this argument has said that the shopping center doesn't have a right to make reasonable regulations. If we had decided, for example, when we used those chairs just to leave them where they were, and it became helter-skelter and people were bumping into them and falling over them, then they would have every right to come out there and say, "Look, this is creating a hazard, so if you guys would just stack them up, we'll leave you alone." But we got ahead of them. And the thing that bothered them was that they weren't involved in that process. They didn't get to help make the decision. And it's, by God, their property, you know. Just wrong, wrong, wrong. Anyway, it goes on in discussing the regulations. It says, "Certainly a shopping center does not require the same perfect order, silence, and contemplative environment as, for example, a public library. A shopping center to which the public is invited and where thousands of persons come to shop, browse, stroll, and talk is no more likely to be disrupted by peaceful and orderly circulation of a petition than a railway station. And the business of a railway station, as much as that of the shopping center, can be disrupted by unregulated First Amendment activity, whether that activity is related or unrelated to the use affected the property. Thus, the owner of a shopping center, like the owner of a railway station, has no legitimate interest in absolutely prohibiting all First Amendment activities. But regulations. Plaintiffs do not contend that they are entitled to use private property for the dissemination of ideas without limitations. Just folks like we do not believe that we're entitled to use that area outside the coffee shop without limitation imposed by reasonable regulations. And it says the property owners involved are free to impose, and they are, reasonable regulations. So unless there is an obstruction or of an undue interference with the normal business operations, the justice concludes. I'll do this from the start because I don't want to mess it up. This is the conclusion of Justice Mosk in writing this opinion. Unless there is obstruction of or undue interference with normal business operations, the bare title of the property owners does not outweigh the substantial interest of individuals and groups to engage in peaceful and orderly First Amendment activities on the premises of shopping centers open to the public. One more time. Unless there is obstruction of or undue interference with normal business operation, the bare title of the property owners does not outweigh the substantial interest of individuals and groups to engage in peaceful and orderly First Amendment activities on the premises of shopping centers open to the public. And when we talk about the First Amendment activities again, just to make sure we got everything hammered down, we start from the premise that peaceful and orderly discussion of issues are First Amendment-protected activities. You got it? So there we are. Got a shopping center sitting down here, thinking they get to run off the riffraff, really making things worse for themselves. They're absolutely out of touch, cannot get the sheriff's office to do what they can to protect those rights, even though they're sworn to. I tried mediation. They don't want to do mediation. They're going to force me to sue on behalf of the community to restore an area to public use that never should have been taken away. And I, you know, it's just stupid, stupid. And then I got to do it in these courts here. Randy Santa Cruz, welcome to KSCO.
Hey there, Richard. I happen to like that song, Shout and Feel It Too, and I've used it as a theme song for shows that I do for about 8 years.
Oh, have you?
It's a great song.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Yeah. The Count knew his stuff, didn't he? You know why I picked that song is because of that guitar lick in there?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That guitar solo is to die for. I've never played it all the way through. I've had a lot of comments on it, and I think I will. I didn't steal it from you. I stole it from somewhere else. I never heard it used before, but it's a good one.
Good for you.
So what's up?
I generally agree with you, but I got to try and play devil's advocate.
Sure, go for it.
And let you go for it here.
No.
I don't think anywhere in the First Amendment or in the decision that you read that anything about chairs or furniture.
Well, okay. Now, what would be the effect? What is the difference between just fencing it off and making the environment hostile? What's the difference? If you make it a hostile environment, for example, there was a section on the planter boxes that was most used because of its proximity to the coffee shop. And it was an area that's about 10, 12 foot long. And almost always, the first people that would sit in that area would sit there. Two reasons. One, it's out of the rain. And two, it's out of the sun during the hot part of the day. But it was without question. If you went down there and you marked the places where people sat most often, it would be the green zone. This is the area that is most used. The shopping center came in and put a stack of newspaper racks in that spot. Moved it from down at the other planter box where there was virtually nobody ever sitting. And so do we have a right to chairs? Them buy the chairs? No, ain't nobody asking them to buy any chairs. We're talking about a place to sit comfortably, to be able to use that space comfortably and clean up after ourselves. If we are not disrupting their business and we are not asking them to provide a seating area, then what's wrong with us bringing our own chair?
Well, does it give you the right to go in there and install permanent chairs?
Of course not.
Well, I don't see where the leap could not be made. I mean, just because it is their shopping center, they do have the right to design it as they wish. And if they happen to run it poorly, I know many a business that's run poorly. It doesn't give me the right to go in there and tell them how
If the effect of what they do is the same as if they were to disallow it by signage and arrest, then they cannot do it. You cannot interfere with the right of people to gather. And it doesn't matter whether you do it by putting stink pots out there. It doesn't matter if you do it because you put railings where people cannot congregate. It doesn't matter. The fact is that if the design
is damaging to that First Amendment right and the right to exercise that First Amendment right to talk about ideas, to discuss ideas within a community, then it violates the First Amendment, and they cannot do it. It's been asked and answered. And there is no doubt in my mind, if they force me to sue, I will come back with that ruling.
But they don't have the responsibility to make your First Amendment right comfortable, more comfortable than it is in any other circumstance.
I do not claim that right. What I claim is the right for them not to make it uncomfortable / unusable, which is the same thing as taking it away altogether. It's just that it's tacky what they're doing, but it interferes with the community. If you had seen the way that community started to come together, if you had seen how the old and the young were finally starting to talk to one another, you know, it was in fact the beginning of the restoration of a community that used to be there before that sheriff's office came in and stomped that fascist boot and started running off the riffraff.
Well, like I said, I really agree with you, but I had to try and play devil's advocate.
No, I appreciate it, and you know, on those cases where I'm wrong, I'm prepared to stand corrected, but I think we got it.
Okay.
Randy, we're running out of time. I really appreciate the call, my friend.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Well, my passions run high on this. Mr. Henry called, and I did not take his call today, and the reason is that I barely got it all in like it was and still managed to get one caller. This case is so determinative of so many different things. I see what's going on downtown as a crying shame. We really need folks to get together and start wrapping ourselves around our diversity. We need to learn ways to appreciate. I am telling you what I have learned from living in Santa Cruz. I didn't come knowing this stuff. I found this stuff out from being here. Toleration was not one of the things that I had to claim in my quiver when I arrived here. It is something that I've learned by living in this community. But at the same time I've learned it, it's like it ran out of the community's cup and into mine. And we have become less tolerant. We have become more greedy. And we're losing it. And we need to start thinking about these things and learning how to get along and start appreciating our differences between one another. Come on. This is a great life and a great place we live. There's no need to try to separate ourselves out and above and away from anybody. This has been the United States Freedom Fighter Forum on KSCO Radio, AM 1080 Santa Cruz. I'm Richard Quigley. Thank you much for listening. Thank you, Michael, for the airtime. See you next week.